interviews with coaches, to in-depth player sit-downs, to comprehensive breakdowns of games. This is 790 The Zone's presentation of The Coaches Show. And here's your host, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And our final ride with Coach Mike Smith on this Monday. It's a victory Monday at Flowery Branch. The Falcons beat the Redskins yesterday 27-26. Robert McClain will be our player guest in the second half hour. Atlanta picks up the victory, their fourth of the year. A week from tonight, we'll be at Candlestick Park in San Francisco for the final regular season game in that fabled facility. It'll be an 8:30 kick, and we'll join you with AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 6:30. Smitty, you see these things all the time. You've coached a long time. All of them are different in some form or fashion. Yesterday was really different, wasn't it?
It really was, Wes. It was great to get the win. There were a lot of ebbs and flows in that game. And there was a lot of learning and teaching moments, not only for our team, but I think for both football teams. So it was good to get the win. It came down to a handful of plays, but it was interesting. I hope the fans enjoyed it, because standing on that sideline, I don't know how enjoyable it was.
Well, it certainly were some things that I know that you when you look at the film. Smitty, I know you mentioned the opportunity to teach maybe during the game, but also post-game as well. You mentioned in your press conference eyes, and for the layman fan out there, can you give the fan kind of some specifics about what you're talking about with what guys should be doing with their eyes and not being head faked or maybe juked out of position based on what they're trying to do from a concept standpoint?
Certainly, every position, it starts with your eyes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You have certain things that you have to key in. There's a keying sequence that you go through. For example, a defensive back, based on whether it's man or zone, is going to depend on where he's going to look to get his run pass key. Very rarely do you look back at the quarterback when you're playing defensive back. And there were a couple of instances in the game yesterday where our guys took their eyes off of their keying sequence and kind of got it mixed up a little bit, and we ended up giving up some big plays. We gave up two really big explosive passes strictly because the sequence of the keying triangle that we go through, we didn't put our eyes where they needed to be, because if you're supposed to be looking at the tight end, he's going to be your key to tell you whether it's a run or a pass based on whether he's blocking or if he's releasing. Most of the time, if he's releasing, then you're playing the pass. If he's blocking, then you're playing the run. And we had some guys that had their eyes in the wrong place, so the sequence was not necessarily the way it needed to be.
Yeah, and you've got so many young players playing back there that obviously it's, I guess it's explainable that can happen. Another part of that process of playing your keys or playing the technique correct is, especially when you begin to get close, and I guess namely the touchdown play, they're going to try to rub somebody off. You're in man coverage. I know Rob's trying to create an opportunity for him to either get over the top or underneath the guy trying to crash to the inside and maybe run his defender into Robert Alford. Ultimately, they get the touchdown. How do you teach that? What is the sequence there that you'd like to see from a technique standpoint?
Well, it really is based a lot on the splits of the receivers, the relationship between the two receivers. We have rules and parameters that we'd like to see, because if you're on the same level, you've got the potential of getting picked and or not necessarily getting picked, but having to run around either a receiver or a receiver and a defender, and you have to bubble behind it, and they're going to have an opportunity to complete the pass. And especially when you're down there at in the red zone inside the 5-yard line, a half a yard can make the difference between whether it's going to be a touchdown or we're going to hold them out and force them to take another snap.
It's interesting. You've talked about the full evaluation, the experience, getting guys' experience, and also at the same time doing some evaluations. How fast has that moved here in the last 3 weeks, I guess, Coach, with a couple ball games left to go? In the last 3 weeks, 5 weeks total here, you'll have a chance. How fast has that moved for some of these young guys? I'm thinking about a guy like a Zeke Mata, for example. I mean, he had some spot duty a couple weeks ago. Yesterday starts for the first time. Paul Warlow, Joppa Bartu have been on the field enough now that I think they kind of understand the process. Maybe don't have as much experience, but understand it. How fast does it move for some of these other younger guys? Ryan Schrader yesterday may be a good example too.
Yeah, Ryan played every snap, offensive snap in the ball game yesterday. And again, we put ourselves in situations where we want to test these guys, and we wanted to do that with Ryan yesterday. Even some of the other younger players, for example, we wanted to see how Jonathan Massaquai would handle extensive playing time. He played about 85% of the snaps in the ball game. He'd never done that. He'd been a guy that had been in a rotation. So we wanted to get him get him snaps as well. And I think it gives us an opportunity to evaluate guys in different situations. And it's going to be beneficial for us moving forward, moving into the offseason, moving to next season, to have some of these young guys get as many experiences as they can in real NFL games, not just preseason games.
Smitty, I thought this was as tough a matchup maybe as the tackles could have had from a speed standpoint. Both Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo, excellent speed rushers off of the edge. And after you had a chance to look at the film, how did you feel like? I know that both guys have struggled some in the game, Ryan Schrader and Lamar Holmes, but how did you feel like ultimately they played against those two players?
Well, those are two very good players. We had them as game wreckers, and we wanted to make sure that they didn't wreck our game. I think there were times that we did it. And the tough thing about an offensive lineman is he may have 40 opportunities to pass protect in that ball game. And you may win 35,
right?
And you may lose three, and you may have two draws. And the thing that everybody remembers is the three that you lost. And you may give up a sack on one of those losses, may give up a hit. That's why we have to be so precise in everything that we do. I thought that Ryan did a very good job for his first time playing the entire ball game. He did a good job. In the pass protection, he had one really tough one where we had the sack fumble. Again, that's a learning, a learning situation for him. I do believe Lamar won his battles for the most part as well. But again, when you're playing left to right tackle and you're on the edge, and you're going against top-notch rushers, you're not going to be 100%. But we need to be 100%, and that's what we strive for. And our execution, for the most part, was good. We just weren't good enough to pitch a shutout, so to speak.
You know, Coach, it's interesting. We've seen a lot of Lamar Holmes at left tackle. Has he showed you anything on that side that he didn't show you on the right side? Is it just kind of been a 50-50? Is it equal on both sides?
Well, I think that the good thing for our football team moving forward is we know we have a guy that can play both on the left and the right side. He's had snaps on both sides for us, and I think he's handled it well. Originally, when the season started, he was going to be a guy that was competing with Mike Johnson for the right tackle position.
Right.
And there's been a lot of snaps and a lot of things happen since back in July. And for Lamar, it's been a situation where he's had the opportunity to go out and play lots of snaps and lots of football for us, and he's done a good job going through the process of learning how to be an offensive lineman and an offensive tackle, and especially the left tackle who protects the backside of your quarterback, which is one of the premier positions on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you've had a chance to look at some interior linemen as well. I know Joe's moved in at center, and it looks like he's done a pretty solid job at the center position for you, Joe Holly. But you had a chance to rotate a little bit yesterday. You got Peter Kahn's back in the game a little bit some yesterday. I know you also got Harlan Gunn in the game, a snap or two. What did you see from those snaps that maybe encourages you for what might look like in training camp?
Well, we wanted to get Harlan some snaps. I believe he had 19 snaps in the ball game yesterday. And for his first extensive playing time in the regular season, he did a good job. Harlan's one of our strongest offensive linemen on the team in terms of the weight room. And we felt like he's worked hard in practice and that he deserves an opportunity for us to get live regular season evaluations on him. And he did a nice job, and I think we will continue to evaluate Harlan and see how his role fits in as you know, as we move forward. And to me, guys, competition is the key to building, you know, building a unit or building a group, and we want these guys to go out and compete each and every week.
So, man, I know we get to catch a break. Last thing for you before we catch a break here. How difficult is the balance you strike getting these guys in? Because I know you want to see them play. You want live bullets coming at them, see what they're going to, how they're going to respond and come together as a unit. But you got your quarterback standing back there, and he's playing behind a different offensive line, and maybe there's some shortcomings that come along with that. We all know that. How difficult a balance is that to still operate the way you want to offensively?
Well, you want continuity. We say it all the time, and you want continuity as much as you can. With the way that you know, our season has progressed, we need to get into our evaluation, and there is some, you know, there is some pluses and minuses when you're rotating guys in and they're not playing together. But for us, we've got to find out what these guys can do, and we need to set the tone in terms of what type of competition that we're going to have moving forward. You know, these guys, I think they understand it doesn't matter where they were drafted, how many zeros are on their paycheck. We're going to let their play on the field dictate who's going to get the playing time moving forward.
All right, Coach, thanks. We got more coming up with the head coach of the Falcons. Don't forget our SunTrust Bank Shining Play of the Game is also coming up, brought to you by SunTrust. How can we help you shine today? And it's Monday, and, of course, Football Fans Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back. Perfect for the ball game tonight. That'd be the Lions and the Ravens.
Big one.
Yeah.
This might as well be a playoff game.
It might as well be. Get any pizza.
Get pizza for the playoff game.
Exactly. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. We'll come back with the head coach of the Falcons live at Flowery Branch. The Mike Smith Show continues after this on 790 The Zone.
And Ryan to 156 on his 19th completion. Gonzalez, 5 catches, and now 15,000 receiving yards in the career of Tony Gonzalez.
Wow. Live NFL Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night games. NFL Red Zone. Watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday. 24/7 NFL Network capabilities. That's Star NFL to get NFL mobile now only from Verizon.
And back with the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith. Robert McClain will be here with us in our second half hour. Here's our Ford Defend the Dome question of the week, Smitty. Don't forget, you can submit questions during the course of the year. Go to defendthedome.com. I think you can still register.
Yeah,
to,
we'll read that question next year.
To meet with, we'll read the question. If you submit it now, we'll read it next fall. But you can still enter to win the Falcon experience with Coach Smith. And Jeffrey Kite of Woodstock is going to get our $50 gift card to the NFLShop.com. Defense came up with so many big plays yesterday. Which defensive stop or takeaway did you consider the most critical in leading to the win?
Well, I believe it was William Moore's interception. It was right after we weren't able to put the ball in the end zone on fourth and one.
Right.
And we turned around and took the ball back and gave it to our offense at the 2 or 3 yard line, and we were able to score on first down. So I thought that was a big play. William had very good eyes. We were talking about eyes earlier.
Yep.
Had very good eyes right where they were supposed to be, and he got the big turnover. For William's sake, I wish he would have been able to run it back in. There's nothing like running an interception back. Being the defensive coach, you want to score in on defense when you can. And William has had some game-changing plays the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's done a very nice job for us, and we have done a good job taking the ball away. And I think that was probably the most critical one in the ball game.
So, Smitty, the ongoing process of spending time, and I know your coaching staff is constantly doing it on the sidelines during games. You do it out here every week, the 3 days that you practice to get ready for the games. But then that halftime, what's going on at halftime? I know, Coach, it's overblown a lot of times. We talk about adjustments, and you talked about in your press conference, a lot of your adjustments are made during the week as to what you potentially see, and then that's the button you potentially push to go to in a situation like that. But the teaching moments that you have with so many young players, but also doing what you want to do to get that button pushed at halftime, there's a limited amount of time for you to get that
done.
Oh, yeah,
that 12 minutes goes quick when you think about a 12-minute halftime. Most of the contingencies are talked about prior to the game. There were a couple of things that were unscouted. They came out and, for give you an example, they came out on third down and ran some four wideout sets.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make an adjustment there, and we weren't planning on running a whole lot of six defensive back sets, but we ended up having to do it a handful of times in the game, and then most importantly, we needed to do it on the last play, their last offensive play, the two-point conversion. But there were some subtle changes that we made coverage-wise and some alignment things to help us stop the run, and I thought that that was key because we did a good job of stopping the run, especially there in the third quarter. We changed up the way that the defense was presented in terms of the shell, and I thought that helped us.
Well, and another subtle change you made, and it was a critical play of the game, was that last one where there was no timeouts taken. I mean, this was on the fly now, is you get Asante in the game. Asante Sama comes in as essentially your fourth corner on the field, and you got two safeties. So you go to a dime package, which is not something you normally use. So your guys were on the spot knowing what was personnel was in the game, immediately get Asante on the field. As it turns out, he gets flushed that way, and you've got guys there that can make plays for you.
Yeah, and Desmond made a big-time play on the on the two-point conversion there. And it was, our guys are focused. Again, I think that they've played extremely hard. They played hard in the ball game yesterday. Our execution wasn't always what it needed to be, but the effort is there. And there's young guys that are contributing. There's older guys that are contributing. It's fun to watch these young guys go through this maturation process. Even though we're not getting the outcome that we like, it is fun to watch guys develop because you know that they're developing for some time down the road. There's a benefit to everything that you do. Sometimes you don't recognize it when it's happening, but there is going to be a benefit. There's going to be something that's going to come good out of tough times.
Well, this is the last time we get a chance to visit with you this year. We got to mention a couple of guys, and I'm going to leave the last guy. I'll let you bring up the Hall of Famer. I'll let you bring him up. Jonathan Babineau, I think we talked a little bit about him last week, and I thought he was as disruptive this game as he's been all year long. He was camped out in the backfield, and he was this close to having about four or five tackles for loss. Can you quantify what Babs has meant to your team since you've been here, but really not really being recognized as one of the better defensive tackles in the league?
Yeah, I think that people that watch a lot of Atlanta Falcons football know that he's one of the better penetrating defensive tackles in the NFL. Jonathan is very cerebral. He's very smart. He's got good strength. He may not be the biggest. He's 285, 290, 292 in that range. But he has a very good knack of penetrating into the offensive backfield and being disruptive. Whether he makes the play, he can force the ball to bounce. And when that ball bounces, if you're pursuing well, then there's going to be someone else there to make the play.
It's interesting because you talk about Babineau and being such a factor yesterday, and then we know we're getting down to the final swings here for Tony Gonzalez, coach. Yesterday became the fifth guy to 15,000 yards. I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it?
It's amazing to have had the opportunity to coach Tony for the last 5 years. There's so many things that not only our players have learned by watching Tony Gonzalez, but I learn as a head coach. He's a very quiet leader. He's as good as it gets in terms of being a team player, a guy that he's like the sensei. Everybody goes to talk to him in the locker room. He's not a very vocal guy. Not a rah-rah guy, but he just goes out every single day. And I don't think anybody has a better work ethic than Tony Gonzalez.
Can you begin to think what it's going to be like on Sunday the 29th?
No, I can't. You know, I'm worried right now about San Francisco.
I understand that.
It will be, I'm sure, a very emotional day for Tony.
Sure.
Because, you know, I have a finite number of games that you're going to be able to play, and Tony's played in a lot of them. And my wish is that we go out and we get a win for Tony Gonzalez there at the Georgia Dome, and he finishes out on a good note.
Yeah, what a cool way for him to go out on the road as well. He goes to San Francisco, played his college ball at Cal. Yep. He'll have a ton of people there. He still lives on the West Coast. So what a great opportunity for his fans. You know, we're talking about all the luminaries that are going to be there from San Francisco standpoint, being the last Monday night game in San Francisco. How about all the people that are going to be there to get a chance to see Tony? I think it's really cool because there's a whole bunch of people on the West Coast that are Tony Gonzalez fans that aren't going to be able to be in the Georgia Dome on the 29th. They're going to get a chance to see him in San Francisco. I think it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, and then we all know what's going to happen next. 5 years from now in July.
We get to play in the Hall of Fame game? Is that the deal?
Tony's going to be there.
Tony will be there.
Yeah, he will.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Smitty, thanks as always. Appreciate you carving out time for us on Mondays during the year.
All right, guys. It's been a great great time in visiting with you, and we'll see you guys down the road.
All right. That's Mike Smith. Stay tuned. Robert McClain joins us. Player segment of the Mike Smith Coaches Show on a Monday. Back after this on 7-9 The Zone.
Holy smokes. Boy, the Redskins clutched the dice, didn't they?
Have you taken advantage of Verizon Edge? Pick a phone, pay monthly installments, enjoy the phone for 6 months or until at least 50% of that phone is paid off. Then edge up. Trade up your existing device for a new one. It's that simple. It's Verizon Edge.
Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game from William Moore. Brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch. Online right now at AckermanSecurity.com. Next Monday night, Arch and I and John will be out in San Francisco at Candlestick Park for the 49ers and Falcons. San Francisco won for the fourth straight time yesterday, 33-14 at Tampa. They have now won 9 of their last 11. They did have back-to-back losses in mid-November. Coming off a bye week, they lost 10-9 to Carolina at home, and then the next week lost 23-20 at New Orleans. Since then, wins at Washington, at home to St. Louis, then beat the Seahawks by 2, 19-17 at home, and now have won at Tampa 33-14. Robert McClain going to join us here in a moment in the players segment of the Mike Smith Radio Show, but the 49ers are playing pretty well now.
The Niners have, after kind of an early blip on the radar, the Niners seem to kind of have settled in, and I think that this weekend might have been their best performance because Colin Kaepernick was willing to pull it down and take off and run with it. And I think when you start talking about his impact on a game, I think he kind of fell in love with the fact he could stand in the pocket and throw it through for 400 in the first week of the season.
Right.
That might have been the worst thing that could have happened to him. He's now back to being Colin Kaepernick, and he's a dangerous player.
Robert McClain with us. Thanks for coming out on a Victory Monday, huh?
Yeah, no problem.
You guys took it to the wire yesterday, huh? Had to go all the way to the last snap, huh?
Yeah, it took it all the way down. You know, all four quarters meant something, so you know, it wasn't an easy win, but we pulled it through.
Rob, when you look at a win like this, and I guess if you evaluated the numbers, and I don't know that players, I can't remember sitting home and toiling over the numbers of a game. Did we get a win or did we get a loss? This was an ugly one. I mean, this was one where you guys took the ball away, yet they had almost 500 yards of offense against you guys, and the offense really didn't do a whole bunch. Your offense really didn't do you any favors. Turned the ball over and you're into the field. A couple opportunities for them to have short field. You guys were able to push them away. Mm-hmm. Do you quantify it that way, or do you just look at the W or the L and move on?
You know, they had their long drives here and there during the game. I felt as though second half we played a lot better until they scored that last 2-minute drive. But you know, our job is to get as many turnovers as possible to help the offense win and to help the offense, you know, get better field position. And we got a lot of turnovers on special teams, on defense, and you know, that's how the game goes sometimes. You know, the offense might struggle here and there, but you know, everybody has to contribute.
Robert, you guys have it's been an interesting year. Last year you came here early in the season. tail end of training camp, got into the regular season, made some big plays early. This year it's kind of been a different vibe. Take me through the, I guess, the changes and what it's been like. What have you learned from all this, I guess?
You know, it's just adversity. I've been through adversity through my entire career playing football. It's never easy. I have to prove myself out at all times. That's how this league is. You have to be able to prove yourself, and you have to make plays to stay on the field. So, you know, it was tough in the beginning of the season. And, you know, I've had some downs throughout some games. And, you know, my mentality is I'm going to keep fighting regardless. So I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And I know what I have to improve on. So, I mean, the adversity that I go through, I'm used to it.
Falcons defensive back Robert McClain with us here on the player portion of Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Rob, first of all, the punt return, and you and I talked about this about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I said, hey, we've got a chance to give some – you need to crease one here. We need you to take one to the house. You were that close, and I'm holding my fingers about a quarter of an inch apart from going to the house. Did you feel like it was that close to go?
Yeah, I felt that I got vertical right away when I caught the ball. I knew the punter was going to out-punt his coverage, and he did that on the first punt, and got vertical, made the first two, three guys miss. And I felt a wall to my right and ran to the right, and the guy kind of snatched up my helmet a little bit. Refs, of course, not going to call the face mask or anything like that. But
no, they'll call a block in the back, though, won't they?
Yeah, they'll call a block in the back. But, you know, and the guy pulled me down. He got a good piece of me to where he knocked me out of bounds a little bit. But I think that was my furthest return this season.
Were you kicking yourself on the one you dropped? Because you had a lot of room there. It looked like you were going to go with that one.
Yeah, you know, Coach Armstrong is going to get on me about that. And Rubisky, they're going to be pissed about me dropping that ball. You know, I kind of caught the ball initially and then tried to take off too early. And the ball kind of slipped out of the grip of my arm.
Well, it looked like it was the one you finally got a lot of room. It looked like you're going to have some room. Yeah, I anticipated that too.
I peeked down. You know, I peeked down just a little bit to make sure the interior was going to take a nice clean shot on me, because it wasn't really – it was a deep kick, but it wasn't too deep. You know, it had time for the cover seam to get down there. So just wanted to make sure that they weren't going to take a shot at me. And when I caught it initially, and like I said, I tried to take off too early because I seen a lot of green to my right.
Is that fun for you? I mean, is the punt? I know there's guys that have the ability to do it. I remember talking to D'Angelo Hall, ironically enough. Mm-hmm. D. Hall was an All-American punt returner. He didn't really like to return punts. Is it something you like to do?
I love it. I mean, I've been doing it my entire career playing football. I like it. You know, I feel as though you could throw your own style in as a returner. You know, a kick returner, you want to be able to hit the wedge and, you know, return vertical this way, that way. But, you know, punt return, you get a little more freedom to set up your blocks and get through certain lanes of the coverage.
So what's the secret to a good punt return? Do you kind of know during the week, I may have a chance here if something goes right, if you know, I get a punt to the numbers and the wall sets, I'm going to have a chance? I mean, do you sense it coming during the week, or is it happens on the Sunday?
You kind of have to envision what the coverage is going to do and what you're going to do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. Studying film from Washington last week was, you know, their coverage, they weren't disciplined in their lanes at times. They have had great coverages sometimes, and sometimes they'll get sloppy and tired with it. But at times they wouldn't get all in their lanes. I knew if I did hit it vertical and get outside, that there'd be creases. And that's pretty much every coverage team, you know, getting the ball vertical as fast as you can gets them to chop their feet, and it gets you to break through some lanes.
Well, as you mentioned yesterday, your 25-yard return was the longest of the season. The thing that's caught my eye is, I think up until yesterday, your longest was 16 in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But your returns have always been anywhere in that 9 to 15-yard window. You've got a little bit of consistency about what you're doing. I mean, mm-hmm. I know you want to break one. We want you to break one so we can give some money away to some people. But the idea of being consistent, how important is that?
It's a very important. You know, 10 yards is a first down for the offense. And if I can average 15 to 13 yards as a returner, you know, that gives our offense good field position. The punter might punt it to our 40-yard line. I'm able to return it to the 50. Now the offense only has 50 yards to score a touchdown.
All right, here's my last.
That's those hidden yards there that coaches don't really discuss much, but they're an big impact in the game.
All right, let me ask you this, and I'm just going by what we have statistically. 21 returns, I say 21. 21 punts to you. 14 have been returned. 7 have been fair caught. Mm-hmm. Is that too high a number for you in fair catches, or is it just – hey, it is what it is.
I fair catch them when I know the coverage is there. So, fair catching is good field position at times too. You know, not all times I'll be able to return everything, and I have to make smart. You have to be able to make smart decisions as a returner. So when I do have the chance to return, I'm going to return them. I might take a chance here and there, like I did Buffalo when the guy was right next to me. But there are times where I have to fair catch where I know a guy is right there trying to set me up or slow play me. So.
Well, plus, and you have the backed up situation too. If there's a guy, the team's punting plus from their 40, I mean, he's trying to secure field position at that point in time down low. Robert McClain with us here on Sports Radio 790 Zone. What's this season been for you this year, Bobby Mack? I mean, it's this has been one where you're a starter. I think that everybody has to understand. I think most people kind of get caught up in the conventional defense. If you're one of the three defensive backs on the field or one of the three defensive backs, you're a starter on this football team. Mm-hmm. You're a starter on this football team. But what's it been like with the two young guys and kind of them kind of breaking in? I know you think they're talented, but you're a young guy too.
Yeah.
So how has that been for you?
I'm work hard. You know, as a player, I want to win. That's the main goal. I want to win. And I do, of course, I want to get as much playing time as possible. But overall, as a team and what the team wants, we want to win. And any way I can contribute, whether it's on special teams, on defense, or even if I have to go on offense, you know, I'm wanting to contribute to win. And the young guys are doing a great job as coming in as young players and contributing to us winning the games that we won.
Well, you're a young guy too. I just want to keep qualifying the fact that, you know, we're talking about Robert McClain as a veteran player in his team, but he's only been around a few years as well. So it's not like you're this aging veteran, but you've had to help teach as well and some of the work ethic and what these guys need to do. How tough is it to play? Can you quantify for the fan out there? Because playing corner, you got the sideline as an extra defender. Yeah. Now all of a sudden you're inside. How hard is it to play in there?
A lot of people don't realize how difficult the nickel spot is. They think, he gave up a catch. He can't play the nickel spot. Little do they know, there's a lot of stuff that a slot receiver can do against a nickel corner. It's pretty much a four-way go. My friend Darius Butler plays nickel corner up in Indianapolis, and he tells me all the time it's a four-way go for the slot receiver. And you have to be able to anticipate stuff. You can't anticipate too much in a slot. You know, you anticipate it wrong, and there's a lot more grass out there in the slot receiver than there is out for the outside corner. So I rarely am able to make any mistakes in the slot as covering the slot receivers. It's hard to explain how difficult it is because I'm used to being in that role playing nickel corner. But, there's a lot of situations where they're specifically looking to go after nickel, regardless of whether how good the player is.
Well, and plus part of it, and I think this is something that the fan doesn't even take into consideration, and I talk about muddying the water all the time, where it's not a clear look for quarterback. You're a big part of that. The corner is going to lie. You may come up and press bail, or you might play, make it look like it's going to be two and fall to four or whatever. But for the slot guy, you got to make it look like you're going to blitz, like you're going to play man, you're going to play zone.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it as well.
I have to be able to play man. I have to be able to blitz. I have to be able to support for the run. I have to be able to make tackles in the box. I have to be able to tackle big linebackers. I have to know all the different shifts from moving from this slot receiver to the right to the slot receiver to the left. So, I mean, it's not I'm able to do the job and I'm smart. I know the checks I have to make. I have to know what the outside corner has to do with the safety has to do on certain plays. So, I mean, it's a lot of people don't know the stuff that a lot of guys in the core have to go through with the checks and covering certain guys in that slot receiver position.
Robert McClain with us. You mentioned Darius Butler, played with you at UConn. Mm-hmm. Nick Williams lines up yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, did you get it? Did I get you on a hit of Nick Williams yesterday?
No, I didn't tackle him. They did come out and spread set with four receivers out there. We ended up making adjustments later to have four corners out there. But Nick was out there. I think he caught that. I just finished watching the film, and he caught that little flat route on their sideline.
Yeah.
So I wish I went in motion with him and covered him on that play. But he's going to be a good receiver. He's been. I remember when he came in at UConn when I think I was a senior or junior, and he works his butt off. He's one of these undrafted guy. Up in Washington, he was on practice squad, moved him up on the roster, and he's a guy that, I mean, any guy that you get from UConn is for all the coaches in the league. You know, they're going to be tough work hard players. You know, that's just how Coach Etzel, our original head coach up there, kind of taught us. So
let me put this in perspective. You talk about being an undrafted guy. You bounced around Carolina, Indianapolis before you got here. Now a little bit of continuity here in Atlanta. Take me through the first. Do you appreciate this part of it a little more after going through the bumps early?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy making an NFL roster. Every year it's going to be tough. It's like bring in 90 players and they cut it down to 53. So every year I work my hardest to be at least the 53rd best player on the team. I appreciate it now, you know, making a team, and you know it's tough being on a losing team. I have been on a losing team my rookie year with Carolina, and being on a kind of losing season now with Atlanta. You know, it's not easy. You know, there are going to be changes, of course, as it is on every team every year. But with my work ethic and my mentality, I have to keep striving to make that team, regardless of my position or how well I did last year or this year.
All right, we'll come back more with Robert McLean as we continue from Flowery Branch. Our final edition of the Mike Smith Coaches Show wraps up right after this on 790 The Zone.
In his second career start, play action, looks, middle of the field, intercepted! Desmond Trufant.
Well, they need to wrestle it away because simultaneous catch.
William Moore says Trufant's got it. Bartu pumps his fist, comes out of there. Gene Steratore's opinion, the only one that counts, and the referee points Atlanta's direction.
Get coverage of every NFL game on NFL Mobile. Call Star NFL now to get it now. NFL Mobile only for Verizon. Bill to bring you the game.
Robert McLean with us in the player segment of the Mike Smith Show. When True had to pick there, the fight was just beginning, huh?
Yeah, it was. I was trying to get the ball back for him. Garcon, he threw it back to their sideline. So I seen our offense on the field, so I had to get back to the sideline. So.
When a bang-bang pick happens like that, how big a scrap is it once you go to the ground?
Oh, it's a scrap. Even for fumbles, you know, there's pinching and little jabs here and there that nobody sees in that pile. But, you know, everybody's fighting for that ball. That ball is important on playing football.
Yeah, there's no question. I've been in the bottom a couple of those. It's not for the faint of heart in that section. Robert McLean with us here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Rob, as you look at these last two games, Smitty's talked about a momentum going into the offseason. Is this something that is resonating with the players, and the fact that you'd like to get a nice taste in your mouth as you kind of go in, knowing you're not going to be in the postseason?
Yeah, you know, we want to grab as much momentum as possible playing these last games. You know, it just shows our character as players on this team. Regardless of our record, we know our record. We know the bad and the downs we went through this season. But we're going to keep fighting. You know, this is our job. This is what we've been playing our whole lives, and we show a lot of pride in what we do out there. We're going to go to San Francisco. We're going to play our hearts out, and we're going to come out with the win.
Now, I know, speaking specifically about you, you're a guy that I've talked about on my show that is in paramount that this team gets re-signed. You'll be a restricted free agent. Does that enter your mind at all in these last couple of games as you try to kind of, I guess, cement the idea that, hey, I want to be an Atlanta Falcon?
A little bit, you know, crossed my mind a little bit, but I know what my dad told me. He told me not to read too much into what the media says or, you know, the newspapers, and I've kind of had that throughout my whole career playing in college sports, and I kind of just ignore that type of talk, and I just play football. I know it's going to work out in God's hands, whether I'm here or whether I'm another team. I would like to be here because, I mean, I get along with everybody on the team, with the staff, and I respect all the coaches and all the staff members in the office, so.
You're 2 years here. We found out a lot about you. The art stuff you do, the drawings, and I think most of it, what, pen and ink and pencil, is that right?
Yep.
You like to travel. I know that.
Yeah.
You're going to be involved tomorrow with the team in the Make-A-Wish event down in Lawrenceville at Dave and Buster's. That's the kind of stuff you guys do, though. I mean, that's what Tuesdays are about with this organization.
Yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, Coach Smith, he posts every time we come in our Wednesday team meeting, he posts who goes out in the community. And when you look at the amount of players that we have out there and the amount of players that will go three times during one day or two times during one day, it's pretty much almost 85% of our roster will be out in the community volunteering.
And, Rob, you've talked about how that's going to be a big part of what you're going to do in the offseason as well. Why is that so important to you?
It's important. It's important giving back. You know, I've been through life and seen people that didn't have much or seen – I like volunteering at the Humane Society. So the fact that animals don't have a voice to say anything or do anything, and the way people neglect them at times, you know, it's kind of sad. And being in Philadelphia, I've seen a lot of neglect like that with animals, And, you know, I just like to get back in that area. You know, a lot of people oversee that. I mean, it's important to get back to Make-A-Wish Kids and like, you know, the cancer patients and those type of charities. But a lot of people don't really get back to the main society at times. So that's kind of like throwing my part in there.
That's cool.
The off season, not only that, but how important is it to a guy who's still relatively young in his career? And do you change your off season workout schedule, preparation? Do you try new folks, work out with new people? I mean, have you found a comfort zone there?
I'm going to do the same thing I do every off season. I don't work out with anybody specifically. I do my own workouts. I kind of feel as though going through college and going through the off seasons I've gone through, mm-hmm. and the adversity I've gone through, I feel as though that nobody can train me better than I train myself. You know, I feel as though training is pretty much all mental to me. It's whether you want to do it or not, whether you want to keep your weight down or you know, gain weight. It's all mentality for me. And when you're out there on the football field, it's about who wants it more. There could be somebody that benches 185 pounds, I mean, out there playing football in the NFL, and it's about who wants it.
Remember, Falcon fans, the Falcons score a fourth-quarter touchdown on Monday night against the 49ers. You can go to any Kauffman Tire location the next day. That'll be Tuesday. You could save $150 instantly on four new tires and an alignment. Remember, that'll be a Monday night game, so the Falcons shove one in the end zone in the fourth quarter. You can go and get $150 off four tires and an alignment on Tuesday at any Kauffman Tire location.
Nice little Christmas present for yourself.
It is pretty cool. And when you look at the 49ers, Robin, I know you guys haven't spent a lot of time, so just superficially, Crabtree back on the field this weekend. I think it's his first weekend back playing full-time. We know Anquan Boldin's on that roster, mm-hmm. Vernon Davis, so it's a challenge. I guess the question is, when you have a quarterback that can do what Kaepernick can do, his ability to escape and extend plays, that's kind of makes it a little bit more tougher on what you guys do.
Yeah, it's literally 11-on-11 when a quarterback can scramble. You know, we have a game plan that we've been practicing and getting ready for. We know we played a lot of scrambling quarterbacks this year, so we've kind of been practicing that stuff during training camp, just preparing every week, slowly getting ready for our scrambling quarterbacks that we were playing, especially in the second half of the season. You know, he brings a different dimension to the quarterback, that the fact that he can throw and run. But I'm sure we have great coaches, and I'm sure what their game plan is going to be for this week will help us win.
Do you also kind of ignore what's going to happen out there Monday night because it is the last game at Candlestick? Does that even enter into the equation for you guys as you get ready this week? All the things that are going to go on beyond the game?
Like I said, I really don't look too heavy into that type of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. into like – their last home game, the mentality they're going to bring, the emotion they're going to bring to the game, that's important. But we have to find motivation in ourselves to want to go out there and win. You know, it's a West Coast game, so of course we'll be out there early. And there's always a lot of distractions with football players, and when it comes to this profession. And I mean, the a lot of guys, the vets we have, and the young guys we have to be able to fight the urge of, you know, that type of temptation, and just knowing we'll go out there and do our job. We have to go out there and win.
Rob, you're still trying to carve out your niche in the game. You're still kind of weaving who you're going to be mm-hmm. ultimately when you're done, say, 10, 12, 13, 14 years from now in your career. You've got a guy you're playing with that this is it. You've got eight quarters left, and Tony Gonzalez is going to hang it up, one of the great players that's ever suited up in the game. What does that mean to you to have had a chance to share the locker room with a guy like that?
Man, he's an amazing guy, man. Everything, he works hard at practice. He perfects his craft. He's perfected his craft many years to get to where he's at. And I'll always have the highest respect for a guy like that, you know, that takes pride in the game and respects the sport. Just being around him and being able to shake his hand, you know, before practice, or him tapping my helmet for saying a good play, and it just gives me that extra mm-hmm. motivation and emotion to go out there and play the sport that I love, and just to show that he's done it for I forgot how many years, but he's done it for so many years, and that he shows that much love and pride in the sport is amazing.
Rob, thanks. Appreciate your time today.
No problem.
That's Robert McClain for Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Thanks for joining us on the Mike Smith Coaches Show. Stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up live from Flowery Branch on 790 The Zone.